Don't think that a person who's great has no yetzerah. It says, Kora gadol mechavero, yitzro gadol hemenu. Whoever is greater than their friend, even the yetzerah grows with them. So in other words, it's like to enable free choice, a person has good inclination and a person has a bad inclination. So the good and the bad always have to be at the same level to give a person free choice. There's no such thing as a person whose good inclination increases and his evil inclination stays down below. The evil inclination grows with the good inclination. So that's the way you have free choice, otherwise no free choice. A person loses their free choice. So let me give you an example. A person says, you know what? I want to be a Baal Teshuvah. I want to do Teshuvah. So on Shabbat, instead of driving, I'm going to ride my bike. Okay. So instead of driving to shul, I'll ride my bike to shul. This way, I don't want to drive on Shabbat, I'll ride my bike to shul. Okay. So he starts riding his bike to shul. So what happens now is his yetzara for Shabbat is getting bigger or smaller? He's riding his bike to shul now. And the answer is yetzara is getting bigger as well. I don't want him to ride his bike. I want him to go back. I want him to go back. You see people regress. Why do people regress? Because it doesn't, just because he's riding his bike to shul doesn't mean his yetzara is not smaller now. It got bigger. Why? It wants him to go back to what he did before. So you see people climb and you see people go down. Why they go down? Because the yetzara grew with them and now they're not able to cope with it. It's too big. So, and I've seen this, sometimes the yetzara works through other cases. I had a guy, a whole family started becoming more religious. And what happened was, imagine, guess what happened? The yetzara appears in different ways. The oil company pumped oil into their house.
But this is the good you're talking about or the bad?
The bad. Let me show how the word bad works. So what happened was, they have no tank in the house. The oil company made a mistake and delivered the oil to their house instead of someone else's house on the same block. They had a pipe outside, but they took out the tank. They left the pipe. I don't know why they left the pipe. Crazy. So they pumped oil into the ground, basically. 1,000 gallons of oil into the ground, no tank. So what happened is, they had to move out their house for like 6 months when the remedial work was done for the soil under the house. I never saw them for 6 months. Regressed completely. Totally gone. So you see how things work and the power of the yetzerah has got to watch out. Everywhere we go, our yetzerah is with us and a person can regress and there's no guarantees. Even for great people, a person thinks, oh, great person. You see today, great rabbis in Israel, terrible things going on. And in England, great rabbis, everyone loved this rabbi, whatever. All of a sudden, he had to quit. What happened? It was okay.
So
what do the followers do? Don't trust anyone. The Mishnah says, be careful, we're going to read. Al ta'amin be'atzmecha, don't even trust yourself until the day of your death. Because the Yetzirah is still alive, a person doesn't know what they're going to do. Terrible, it's good advice. Why? A human being can never trust themselves. What does that mean? That right now, I'm acting nicely, but who knows if Hashem puts me in a test. David HaMelech, King David, let's take the example. King David says to Hashem, the forefathers get part of the Shemona Esrei, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. Where's my name? So God said, listen, I tested them, and they passed their test. So David HaMelech says, test me? So Hashem says, I'm going to tell you what the test is going to be. I'll even tell you what the test is going to be. So David HaMelech was busy, and Batsheva. And we all know what happened to him. So no one is above being tested. Everyone can be tested. Yes, you're meant to find someone, but you got to know that even great people can fall. Unfortunately, a lot of people are falling. A lot of people are falling. Yes?
The man who rode his bike to shul, to him, it was not driving.
It wasn't driving. It's a higher level.
It definitely is, because driving is fire. As soon as you put it to the combustion engine, you're creating a fire.
Yeah, yeah.
Although, typically,
people do not
ride bikes.
There's
no...
Okay.
So why doesn't he get less of a...
He does. Definitely does. But what we're saying is the Yetzirah is growing with him. Don't think the Yetzirah left him.
No. But to him...
His evil inclination is growing with him. The Yetzirah means the evil inclination.
To
evil
him
inclination.
It made sense.
100%. It makes sense to everyone. Why? Because he's doing less of an Avira. He's doing less of a sin now.
There's no true Tzadikim?
There are Tzadikim. But we're talking about the test is always there. Don't think the test is over. The test is never over till a person dies. The best thing to do is just sit in your room and don't go outside. Because if you go outside on the street, many things are going on. You never know what's going to happen.
So look, you have no control. You're saying that a person has no control.
You have control, but it's very hard to control. In the time of the test, it's very hard to control.
Chaucer said there's no merit in cloistered virtue.
There's no merit in cloistered virtue, but you know what? Sometimes there's no choice. That's what Rambam says. Rambam says if society is evil, go and live in the desert. Rambam says it. Rambam is very anti that. Rambam is very for living in the world.
Yeah, you're supposed to go out into the world.
But he says, well, the world won't leave you alone. So it's not true. Today, it's not true that the world doesn't leave you alone. The world will leave you alone. But I'm saying, in a society where the world does not leave you alone, and they want you to be as evil as them, like Saddam. The person lives in Saddam, you've got to be like them. They won't leave you alone. So in a society like that, you have to leave the society. That's what Rambam says. I'm not saying everyone has to leave society. I'm just saying, if you don't want to be tested, just don't get involved. But yeah, we're tested all the time. Listen, how many restaurants are on the main street? None of them are kosher, so we're tested. That's a test. You walk down the street, you're hungry. So you're hungry, what are you going to do? Are you going to go to this restaurant or that restaurant? Okay, so most of us, we don't even think twice. But I'm saying, it is a test. It's a test. Okay? A person should never trust themselves.
A small test. You're talking about big things.
There's small tests and big. There's no such thing as a small test and a big thing, because a small fail can lead to a bigger fail. It's a slippery slope. The rabbis are always concerned about slippery slopes. And that's why they made fences around the Torah. I'll break this. Okay, now what? I'll break the next one. And then what? And you break the next one. Keep on going. It's a slippery slope. Where do you draw the lines? That's the question. Where does a person draw lines? Anyway, so Yeravon ben Nevat was a classic case of a person who was a righteous person, who because of ego, it's really the main thing, is ego is such a big thing. He was the king of Israel. He was the king of 10 tribes. He was worried about people leaving him and going to the other king. So what does he do? He sets up idols, golden calves. You worship these golden calves and don't go to the temple in Yerushalayim, in Israel, in Jerusalem. Because there you'll see only one person can sit down. Who can sit down? The king of Judah. Who's the king of Judah? Rehavam, the grandson of King David. He didn't want anyone to go there. He made golden calves and he lost everything. He made other people sin. And then there's a whole big discussion. Was his teshuvah, could his teshuvah be accepted or not? Because once you make other people sin, I can do teshuvah for myself, but I can't do teshuvah for all of these people that I made them sin. So he made other people sin. Cheta rabim talui bo. The sins of the majority of the people are dependent on him now. He made the Jews sin. And therefore, it's very hard for him to do teshuvah. So whereas the person on the other side, a person who does merits for the community, makes the community do mitzvot, good things, the merit of the community is resting on that person. And he gives the person a tremendous power. His prayers are much greater, and he can do other things as well. But the merits of the community is there. The trouble is the Yetzirah is also there as well. And that's what we see today. Today the heads of our communities are failing in that sense. We have to guard ourselves. A person's got to guard themselves very carefully that they don't trip. It's a trip. A person goes trips. The Yetzirah tries to trip us up all the time. The person will be very careful what they do, how they do it, the method they do it, and keep away from. We say every morning our prayers. Don't test us and don't disgrace us. We don't ask for tests. We say, Hashem, don't test us. I don't want to test. I'm the opposite of David HaMelech. David HaMelech prayed for a test, and look what happened to him. We prayed, don't test us. We don't want to be tested. So there's all kinds of tests in the world. There's ethical tests, there's moral tests, everything can be a test. How you deal with other people. You say hello, you don't say hello, you smile at someone, you don't smile at someone, it's a test. These are things. You're going to talk Lashon Hara, you're going to say bad things about a person or not. It's all a test. All these things are tests. A person says there's no test in life, doesn't know what they're talking about. Everything is a test. Every step of the way, there's a test. Okay, so a person says, you know, I'm going to go to shul, but you know what? I'll go 5 minutes later, 10 minutes later. So it's a test. Everything's a test. What time you go? What you do over there, you pray, you talk, you think about other things, daydream, you know, it's always a test. So the main thing is not to get other people involved. If you're doing good, get other people involved. You get credit for that. Amazing. Imagine, say Rose sends out an email, right? Rose, you know how much credit you're getting for that email? Why? Because if people come because of your email, you're getting merits for that email. It's very important to try and be the leader in that field in terms of trying to help the group to get involved. Like your husband sends out emails for the shul. That's tremendous merit. Why? Because everyone's reading their emails, they get tremendous merit just for that. Because you're making other people do good. So a force for good is tremendous reward. A force for evil is the worst thing. Because he can't do teshuva for other people's sins. So I'm getting merits. So can you imagine, you raise children, right? Your children do mitzvot, right? You get percentages. You get percentages. So you're getting percentages. It's like the best investment you can make. Why? Because you're getting percentages without even doing anything. You sit back there and you're getting percentages already.
How come, Rabbi?
It's called MLM. What's MLM? Multi-level marketing. Right? You're the main marketer, and then you get people underneath you marketing, and you're getting percentages all the time. And they get people under them, and you're getting percentages. So same thing, when you're doing mitzvot, and you're getting other people to do mitzvot, you're getting percentages of their mitzvot.
Is that fair?
Fantastic. It's fantastic.
You get on your kids' mitzvahs?
100%. You know why? Because you raised them. You invested. That's your investment.
Right? Well,
you're investing in them, and they're paying you back. They don't even know they're paying you back. Every time they keep Shabbat, they're paying you back. People don't realize that. It's amazing. It's tremendous. Because that's why the dead even are judged on Yom Kippur. Why are the dead judged on Yom Kippur? What do the dead do on that year? They're dead. How can they? They're judged because they're getting credits or demerits based on what happened to them in their lifetime. Who do they invest in? What do they invest in? So their children are doing mitzvot, they get credits. The children are doing avirot, they get demerits. Where do we see this? Yitzhak Avinu. What happens to Yitzhak Avinu? He has two sons. Esav and Yaakov. When Yaakov walks in, he says, "Wow!" He says, "Reach beni, kareach sadeh asher berchoy Elokim." He said, "The smell of my son is the smell of the field that Hashem blessed." So Rashi says he smelled Gan Eden. Yaakov walks in, Gan Eden. I see my future is based on this guy, Gan Eden. When Esav walks in, he says, "Vayicherad charadak dolad meod." He starts trembling. Yitzhak starts trembling. Rashi says, why? He felt Gehinnom beneath his feet. In other words, a father can be pulled by one good son up and by the bad son down. So what we invest in as our children. So our investments are the people. A person invests in their students, and the students are doing well, you get tremendous merits. A person gets tremendous merits. So all we have to do is look for avenues that we can invest. Right? You have good investors today. You have Warren Buffett. He's a very good investor. So there's physical investments and there's spiritual investments. So a person's got to know where to look for spiritual investments. So
he
a person...
Because he made a mistake.
Well, that's not... Rashi says, have a look at Rashi over there. I'm telling you what Rashi says. Rashi, you can't do anything without Rashi. Rashi is... Can you imagine what merits Rashi gets? Because every pasuk you read the Rashi, his merits are tremendous. Can you imagine? You can't learn Torah without Rashi. So Rashi made himself indispensable. So Rashi says, it wasn't just he made a mistake. Look over there, felt something about Esav. Can you imagine? He was such a spiritual man. He had these spiritual vibes. When Yaakov came in, he felt a very good spiritual vibe. When Esav came in, he felt a very bad spiritual vibe. So the question is, how come he didn't feel that about Esav before this? Why only now? And it seems like Esav completely degenerated over a few weeks. His level of, he was slipping very fast. Murder, rape, other things were going on. Esav was doing, which Rashi says. Idolatry. So Esau was slipping very badly. Anyway, we're coming on. So this Mishnah, what is this Mishnah telling us? Basically, exactly what I talked about. If you invest good in someone, you're protected. You get all these dividends. This world is all about ripple effects. It's like a ripple tank. You know what a ripple tank is? One of the experiments in college. You go to college, or actually it's high school. High school experiments. Watching ripples, right? Wave theory. Watching the waves caused by something. That's the same way those waves in the water behave, so too the waves in the sky, that's electromagnetic waves, right? Electromagnetic waves, you see the sound and light and all these things, broadcasting, cell phones, all these electromagnetic waves in the sky, you can't even see them, they're invisible, but they're waves over there. It's how the waves behave. So you look at the ripple tank, you'll see how the waves behave. So you throw a stone into the stream. What happens? Into a lake. You throw a stone in the lake. There's ripples. Those ripples are like the ripples of your deeds. When I do a deed, it's like throwing a stone into the lake. What's it called? Chaos theory. You heard of chaos theory? Chaos theory is if a butterfly flies over here, the ripple effect is there's going to be a storm in China. Because everything in this world is linked. That's today's theory. Everything today in the world is linked. If you do something over here, something else is going to happen over there. The rabbis said this thousands of years ago. They said, if one Jew, Rabbi Israel Salanter used to say, If the yeshiva in Poland is learning well, a Jew in Paris is going to do teshuva. He said, you guys are not learning well. The fact is because there's many Jews in Paris not doing teshuva. So he says there's a ripple effect, spiritual ripple effects. So whatever's linked to our soul, if I do teshuva, he's going to do teshuva, and they're going to do teshuva. We see this today. One person in the family does teshuva, the ripple effect is tremendous. So what he's saying is make your ripple effects as good as possible. There's many ripple effects in life. So the father is doing a mitzvah. Someone asked me, just when I was on vacation in Israel, one of my brother-in-laws, who's the closest to me, he asked me terrible questions. So he says, if you had this choice, would you do this? I said, no, I can never do this. You know why? I want to be an example for my grandchildren. So a person's got other thoughts as well. I'm not a free agent anymore. I'm tied down. Why am I tied down? Because I want my grandchildren to see something good. I want my grandchildren to have a good memory of me. I can't do anything anymore. That's it. My hands are limited. My free choice is limited, bounded, because I know I want to be a good role model for my grandchildren. So children, okay, that's one thing. But your grandchildren, that's something that's special. So you want to be a good role model. So again, that limits your free choice. That limits a person's free choice. Because you know, this is exactly what we're talking about. If I behave well, the chances they're going to follow me and they're going to do the good things as well. If I behave badly, they'll say, oh, look, my grandfather's doing it, why can't I do it? So a person's got the more responsibilities we have, the older we get, the more responsibilities a person has, and a person's got to be a good role model. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about investing in other people. Good. To invest in something good in other people, this way when they do something, you're getting credits as well. So that is a very important idea. And if you do bad, you'll get bad. So that's why the dead are being judged. Command the dead are being judged. What ripple effects they leave in this world? They left good ripple effects or they left bad ripple effects? If they left good ripple effects, every year they're getting interest payments. Tremendous. It's called cheshbon. There's ripple effects of good in the next world. So Moshe Rabbeinu, every time we learn Torah, imagine Moshe Rabbeinu is getting credit. Imagine thousands of Jews learning Torah. Who gave them the Torah? Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe is getting credits. Yeravom and Nevat made the Jews sin. How many Jews were destroyed because of that? The first temple was destroyed. The Jews were exiled. They were lost in the world. Who knows where they are today? Because of one man, Yeravom ben Nevat. So how much? And yet, the Midrash says amazing thing. Amazing Midrash. It's a wild Midrash. Blows me away. Hashem says to Yeravom ben Nevat, Yeravom ben Nevat, do teshuvah. I want you back. And you, me, and the son of Yishai, which is David HaMelech, will go through Gan Eden, paradise together. Imagine, you're walking with God in paradise, whatever that means. Don't take it literally. There's no walking and there's no God is not there like a physical being. But you and me are going to be in paradise with who? With David HaMelech. You, me, and David HaMelech. You know, you're going to be as important as David HaMelech. And guess what Yeravon ben Nevat says in the Midrash? Who's going to go first? Me or him? Look at the ego of the man. And that was the problem. David says, David is going to be before you. He's greater than you. He says, then I'm not doing teshuva. Because the ego can destroy a person. It's one of the biggest things to destroy a person. So say a person says, you know what? I'm the top guy. People respect me. If I do teshuva, they're going to look down on me. So what's stopping him doing teshuva? His ego. So that's what happened to Yeravon ben Nevat. Okay. Pardon? Of Shaul? Or Shaul? What do you, I don't understand.
Yeravon
ben Nevat was Shaul? No. Was not related at all. He's from the tribe of Ephraim.
Why do you sit so far away? I can never hear what you have to say.
Yeah, come closer. So Ephraim, he was from the tribe of Ephraim, and Shaul was from the tribe of Binyamin. So, Shaul HaMelech was from the tribe of Binyamin, the smallest tribe, and that's why he was very humble. Who am I? I'm from the smallest tribe. The tribe had just been decimated, Pelegesh Begiva, and he was from the smallest tribe, and he was the most humble person. Shaul HaMelech was, King Saul was very, very humble, and Yeravon ben Nevat was the opposite. He was trying to be Ephraim, very big tribe, chosen son of Joseph, right, Yosef, where Yaakov Avinu says, he puts his right hand on Ephraim, who was younger, he says, Ephraim's going to be greater than Menashe. So why is Ephraim greater than Menashe? Because the kings came from Ephraim. The kings of Israel came from Ephraim. Yeravon ben Nevat was from Ephraim. Unfortunately, tragic. Tragic. Great person. That's what we're saying. A person cannot trust themselves. We can't trust ourselves. We have to find out. Am I doing this for the right motives? Or am I doing this for the wrong motives? I'm doing it for the wrong motives and I'm wrong. You've got to figure out motive. On the other hand, we learned Mishnah, and the Mishnah says, just do the mitzvah. Doesn't matter what your motives are. And eventually, you'll get to the right motives. Suppose you shouldn't stop doing a mitzvah because I say I got the wrong motives. Do the mitzvah anyway, and the motives will change eventually, hopefully. But the motives can lead the person astray. Okay, we're moving on. So what do we say? Let's recap. We said, whatever you do is an investment. If you do good, you're investing in good. If you're doing bad, you're investing in bad. And the repercussions are terrible. Because you invest good in other people, you get tremendous merits in the next world. You invest bad in other people, you can't do teshuva anyway. You're going to take away the ability for you to do teshuva. I can do teshuva for myself. I can't repent for them. I led them astray. Right, so now we're moving on to the next Mishnah.
The merit we get is in Olam Haba.
Of course. There's two parts to the merit. We can understand. Let's broaden this a little bit. Because we say every morning, there's a Mishnah in Peah. Ochel pirotem ba'olam hazeh. You need the fruits in this world, ve'akeren, but the major principle of what you did is in the next world. So whatever we're doing, we're getting fruits and we're getting major principle. Just like this. It's completely like a monetary investment. Right? You put your money in the bank and you just live on the interest. That's a person does a mitzvah in this world. We're living on the interest of that mitzvah. But the main payment of the mitzvah is in the next world. Right? And we have no glimpse, we have no idea what's going on in the next world. We have no concept. We just believe. Hashem is trustworthy, Hashem will pay him back. Hashem is the best bank in the world. Hashem is trustworthy, never goes bankrupt. So that will pay us back. So there's two parts to the reward. One part of the reward is payable in this world, the other part of the reward is payable in the next world. Now there are some people who don't want the reward in the next world. They want all their reward in this world. I don't believe in the next world, so I believe I want this world. It was a bit of a debate between Esav and Yaakov. Esav says, I just want this world. I don't want the next world. I don't want the Bechora. I don't want the firstborn. It says, Vayibez Esav the Bechora. I don't want the spiritual quantities which are payable in the next world. I want everything now. Give me the soup. Exactly. Give me the here and now. I want the red lentil soup. Give it to me now. I think that's a very bad bargain, you know. He sold his next world for lentil soup. Imagine. There's a famous story. It says Rabbi Israel Salanta. Says he was once staying in an inn. He was in the inn. And a lot of Jewish businessmen over there, they were getting drunk. They were drinking beer, whatever they were drinking. And they got drunk. And one businessman said, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in Olam Haba. I don't believe in anything. So what would you do in that situation? Look what he did. Smart guy. Rabbi Israel Salanta said, sell me your Olam Haba. Sell me your next world. How much? Sell it to me. I'll pay you 2 gold coins. I said, okay. He takes out a piece of paper, writes down a bill of sale. I, so-and-so, and so-and-so, I'm selling my Olam Haba, my next world, to so-and-so, and so-and-so. Sign it. 2 witnesses, sign it. So the guy's so happy, he's drunk. So happy. I got money from this rabbi. He's an idiot. I got cash up front. My next world doesn't exist. Cash up front. He gave me money for nothing. He goes home. And he starts laughing. He tells his wife, I'm so lucky. Look, I made some money for you, darling. Look what I did. He says, what are you doing? He says, I sold my next world. He said, you what? You sold your next world? I can't live with a man without next world. Either divorce or get it back. Go buy it back. Go buy it back immediately. She was smarter than him. So he has to go back to the rabbi. The rabbi says, I'm going to charge you double. I want you to understand that it's worth something. So but it just shows that's a smart attitude, right? But it says, you know, I don't believe in God. Okay, so curse yourself with God's name. You don't believe in God? Curse yourself. How many people are going to curse themselves with God's name? Even the biggest atheist is not going to curse themselves with God's name. You know why? Maybe. Even in the back of his mind. Maybe there is a God. Maybe it's this. So sell it. I don't believe in Olam Haba. Sell me Yad Olam Haba. So Esav actually sold his Olam Haba. He sold his next world for the sake of soup. How many people sell their Olam Haba for the sake of soup?
He regretted it afterwards.
No, he didn't regret it. He regretted the blessing. He didn't realize that it involved the blessing as well. No. He didn't realize that it involved the blessing is also a spiritual blessing. Now, it's interesting. It was a dichotomy. He wanted the spiritual blessing, but he didn't want the spiritual world. He thought, I can have my cake and eat it. I don't want the spiritual world, but I want the spiritual blessing. He said, his father said, you can't. You can't split the two. So Yaakov gets it. He wanted the spiritual world, he gets the spiritual blessing. A blessing is spiritual. What is a blessing? It's not physical. So how can we believe in this blessing, but he didn't believe in the Olam Haba? That's the question. And the answer is, people are confused. People don't know. that one is dependent on the other. He loved his father, so he says, I want my father's blessing. That's what he attached the blessing to his father, who he loved very much. I want my father's blessing. But he doesn't realize the father's blessing is a spiritual quantity. If you don't believe in anything spiritual, so what is a blessing? And his father says, oh, you sold your birthright. The blessing is dependent on the birthright, because they're both spiritual. So you can't divide the two. That's what he didn't realize. Okay. Bottom line. Invest in good. Help people to do good. Be a facilitator for good things. So a woman in the home, she makes sure the house is kosher. She's a facilitator for good. She makes sure there's good things going on in the house. She's a facilitator for good. If you can help other people do good as well, be a facilitator for a shiur, be a facilitator for other things which are good. So this way you have an investment and you're getting direct payments. MLM. Multi-level marketing. So every Jew, that's the point of being a Jew really. The point is to help other people do as much good as possible. So even in society, go around society. Try and fix society, try and make society a better place. Okay, we are now Yutet. And this is beautiful. A person who has three things, these three qualities, is a student of Abraham. Avraham Avinu. Who is a student of Avraham Avinu? Who is a student of Abraham? The person who has these three qualities. What are these three qualities? And there's three other qualities, the opposite qualities. A person is a student of Bilam. So we have the forces of good and you have the forces of evil. The forces of good is Abraham, and forces of evil are led by Bilam, which is very topical this week's parasha. What are the three qualities of Abraham? Number one, ayin tova, a good eye. Most people talk about a bad eye. You know the story of this Jewish old Jewish woman goes to court, and the judge asks her, "How old are you?" She says, "Kanayin hora, I'm 20 years. I'm whatever." He says, "I didn't ask you other things. I'm asking you, how old are you? Tell me directly. Answer the question directly. How old are you?" "Kanayin hora, I'm so and so." So I'm asking you directly, if otherwise it's contempt of court. So her lawyer said, "Judge, allow me to ask her the question." He says, "Go ahead." He says, "Kanayin hora, how old are you?" We always hear about the evil eye. What about the good eye? What is a good eye? So we see from the good eye what an evil eye is. Oh, good eye is the opposite of the evil eye. So what is a good eye? Good eye is the eye of generosity. Abraham had the quality of generosity. It says, it's amazing. He sees strangers, goes, runs to the strangers, invites them over to his house, gives them food to eat, gives them a lavish meal. That's a good eye. Number one is a good eye. Number two, ruach nemucha, humility. He was not a baal gaava. He never had pride, never had ego. He was a humble person. That was Avraham Avinu. Number one is generosity. Number two is humility. And number three is nefesh fala. He was not desirous of other things, of other people's things. Right. So those are the three qualities of Avraham Avinu. Let's just recap.
The third one? I didn't hear. Jealousy, right? Jealousy.
Number one is he had generosity. He was generous. Number two is he was humble. And number three is he had ruach nemucha, which is explained as he was not a baal tava. He wasn't someone who was always desirous of things. He never loved to overeat, never loved to over this, over that. He wasn't greedy at all. The three qualities of Abraham was not greedy. How do we see this? He conquered the world, basically. He conquered the four kings who conquered the world. Avraham Avinu fought the four kings. He beat the four kings. It was an international war. And he goes because they captured Lot, right? His brother-in-law and also his nephew. His nephew and his brother-in-law, Lot. They captured Lot. He runs to make a war to free Lot. And by making that war, he beat the four kings. And he got all this booty. And you know what he does? Gives it back. I won't take anything. I don't take anything. And he gives a tenth to the priest. To the priest, Melchizedek, who was Shem. The rabbis say he was Shem, son of Noah. So he was was not desirous of things. He never was not greedy at all. So those are the three qualities. We have to try and emulate Avraham Avinu. We're the descendants of Avraham Avinu. We have to try and emulate Avraham Avinu. Number one is be generous. It's very hard to be generous. Because it's hard-earned money. It's your hard-earned money. Avraham Avinu says, my hard-earned money. Why should I give other people? Why should I help other people? Why should I give the poor? Why should I help other people who have no food? Why should I give them food to eat? No, opposite. You would give. That's a good eye. That's a very good eye. A good eye is generosity. Be generous. Number one. Number two, be humble. So hard, be humble. He said, I'm the righteous person of the generation. I'm the greatest person of the generation. No, I'm nobody. Who am I?
Isn't
he tells God,
eye,
he says.
Isn't it a good eye to see the good in other people?
Also. That's also generosity. People don't realize that. When I see good in other people, I'm being generous to other people. Sometimes they don't have that good. I still see good. That's
not,
generosity.
You're not being critical.
Not being critical. So it's a big test. That's one of the big tests in the world. The big test today is how critical people are with others. This one's bad, and this one's bad, and this one's bad. You see in some societies, it's a disgusting society. This guy's no good, and this guy's no good. Always looking for a psul. It says when you're looking for a psul in other people, that means you're psul yourself. It's a terrible thing. So a person looking for other people to be no good is really no good themselves. That's the problem. So a person going to look at other people and say, they're greater than me. Who was that? I think it was Chovat HaLevavot. Duties of the Heart. He says, whenever I saw someone, it was better than me. If they were younger than me, I would say they're more innocent than me. Is it Rambam?
I don't remember where this came from, but there was the story that the rabbi put out that there's a man that's going to be walking into, a man walks into the room, and nobody knows him, okay? But if before the man walks into the room, someone says, someone's walking into the room who is so generous, everyone in the room, when he walks in, has a feeling about him. Versus if there's someone who says, the man who's about to walk into the room is a ganav, and here's the same guy who's just walked into the room without us knowing, and so how it
influences
it, the influence of what people say or do.
Yeah. So what does the Talmud say about someone? You don't know someone. He walks into the room. Chabdehu vechashdehu. Someone you don't know. Give him honor. And beware, be careful, be wary. Be wary. You have silver in your house, you have a guest. You don't know who he is. So lock up your silver, but give him honor. You don't know who he is. Don't take precautions, in other words. It's good advice. But judge other people. He didn't do anything. So judge him favorably. He didn't do anything.
Yeah, that's the power of Lashon Hara.
Right.
So what we say is very important. Okay, so a good eye. Generous, be generous. Be humble, and don't be greedy. Three qualities of Avraham Avinu. These are the students of Avinu. However, the opposite three qualities are students of Bilam. What is that? Ayin Ra'ah is always seeing bad in other people. Opposite of generosity. Mean, miserliness. Ruach Yevoha, pride. Nefesh Re'avah, and desirous of other things. Of greedy, being greedy. That's Bilam. Mitamidav Shem Bilam. What's the difference does it make? And the answer is, look at the reward. Avraham Avinu's students, they eat reward in this world, and they inherit the next world. That's it. So that's where we're trying to go. Our goal is to get reward in this world and to inherit the next world. So how do you do that? And it's interesting because it doesn't say you do anything. These are all quality traits. These are all character traits. The success in life is not just about what you do. It's also about who you are. So we can change ourselves. How do we change ourselves? These are three qualities we have to try and get. Be generous, be humble, and not greedy. Generous, humble, and not greedy. So it's very important. Generous, humble, not greedy. So these are the qualities that people admire. A person generous, people admire that person. Generous person. Where you go, he's always trying to help. I met a guy, there was a very important person who was a rabbi 40, 50 years ago. He passed away. I was very lucky to know this person because he was very generous, very humble, and not greedy. So he filled all three criteria, and it was just a lesson in Musa just to speak to the person. So some people are great, and you feel awe in their presence because they're greater than you and they're more humble than you. So amazing people in this world. So these are the reward. Look at the reward for Avraham Avinu's students. Le'anchil ohava yesh. This is a chapter in Mishlei, chapter 8. I have enough to give to those who love me, Hashem says. Yesh, I have. What is yesh? The rabbis say that 310 worlds every tzaddik will get in the next world. But so to him, Amale, and I'll fill their warehouses. I'll give them tremendous reward. So that is the reward for these three traits. So we see over here, this is important. It doesn't say you have to do anything. You just have to work on yourself to acquire these three traits. It's a lot of work. Acquire three traits. Again, what are these three traits? Generosity, humility, and not to be greedy. Generosity, humility, and not to be greedy. These are three traits. So it's interesting because there's a beautiful Vilna Gaon. People don't know this Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon says in Evin Shlema, he said the purpose of a person in this world is to fix their character traits. Our purpose in this world is to fix our character traits. What's going on? It seems to be very esoteric. It's not practical. How do you fix your character traits? And the answer is you have to keep all the mitzvot. Because by doing mitzvot, you're fixing yourself. Because fixing yourself is behavior modification. It's to fix how you behave. So a person gives tzedakah, you give charity. A person's not generous, but I got to give tzedakah. He gives. He doesn't want to give, but he gives. That's going to fix the trait of being generous, hopefully. So fixing slowly, it's fixing. But just making a child do certain things is fixing a certain trait of the child. By making ourselves do, because of the mitzvah, we're also fixing ourselves. So a person doesn't do, not going to fix himself. But it's very easy to say, I fix myself inside. But how do you fix yourself? A person's going to fix themselves using something tangible. So what are the things tangible to fix ourselves? And those are the mitzvot. On the other hand, you can have people who do mitzvot are very proud. And the mitzvah makes them even more proud. So that's the danger of being good. The danger of being good is a person gets proud, I'm good. But who are you to say, you know? So that is what we say in our tefillah. In the evening prayers we say, remove the Satan, the accuser, from in front of us and from behind us. So Satan in front of us, I can understand. He's stopping us from doing good. It's a barrier to do good. It's obstacles. The Satan in front of us is an obstacle. Remove the obstacles from in front of us. It says we go and do Tashlich, right? On Rosh Hashanah we go and do Tashlich. Why do we do Tashlich? So one of the Midrashim says, because the Satan appeared to Abraham as a river when he was going with his son to the Akedah. Try to stop him going to do the Akedah. So Satan became a barrier to Abraham Avinu. What does Abraham Avinu do? He goes, walks right through the water river. So the water came up to his, just like the Midrash about Nachshon ben Aminadav. The water came up to his nose and eventually split. He prays to God. He says, I want to do your mitzvah, help me. Water splits. So the Satan is the barrier in front of us. Remove the Satan from in front of us. That's the barrier in front of us. So what's the Satan behind us? The Satan behind us is the Satan that says, now that you did the mitzvah, you're so great. You're a great person. You did the mitzvah. It's fantastic. You're a great person. So the answer is, a person should remove that as well. Don't become proud. The mitzvah should not make a person proud. Many people did mitzvot. I'm just one of them. I'm not doing a mitzvah because it's so great. Hashem gave me the opportunity. Yeah. So that's something a person's got to think all the time. Hashem is the one who gave me the opportunity to do these things. So it's not me, it's God. God gave me all the opportunity. So that was Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was just a messenger. I'm just a messenger of God in the world. That's it. That's all. I'm not anything great. I'm just a messenger. He says, Anuchi afar ve'efer. I'm dust and ashes. That's how Avraham Avinu characterized himself. When he spoke to God, I'm just dust and ashes. Just, who am I? So that's the greatness of Avraham Avinu. Okay, I think we'll stop here, and we'll see you in 2 weeks, because next week is Tisha B'Av, and I'm going to send out an email.